just to kind of nutshell what I said, we're looking at the subconscious mind. We're looking at the emotions that have not been expressed. We're looking at karmic past lives, and we're looking at the genetics that are passed down. So that's typically like the areas that I navigate in looking to support people with releasing their blocks.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it, that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. Anybody who's been an entrepreneur will resonate with this idea that entrepreneurship is in and of itself a spiritual journey. The sheer act of putting something out into the world and hoping that people pick it up creates so much awareness around the blocks and the self-work that you really need to do to get your idea and your capacity for impact out there. It is for this reason that my guest today does what she does. Jen Mavros is a modern day spiritual messenger. She's an incredible woman with a very diverse background as it pertains to understanding the blockages that are holding us back from being our best possible selves. She's currently working towards a doctorate in metaphysical sciences. She is located in Las Vegas, Nevada, and she facilitated an opportunity for me to be able to talk about epigenetics, the Akashic Records, and past lives all in one podcast episode. She is a gifted speaker. She hosts her own podcast. She has tentacles around the world with some of the most influential entrepreneurs. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation because it was so real and on point as it pertains to really acknowledging the role that our spirituality and our need to address our blockages have as we look to amplify what we are doing in this world. This was a super special episode. It's something that everyone is going to get something out of. And I promise you, it's going to challenge and introduce you to new ideas, things you never thought you would hear here. It is my absolute pleasure to introduce you to Jen Mavros. Jen Mavros, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Hey, love. How are you? How's it going? Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you here. So your mission in the world is this notion of loving humanity forward. And this is the kind of purposeful idea that really resonates with me. Can you share with my audience a little bit more about who you are and the journey that got you to this point in your career?
Oh, yes, I can. Thank you so much. Well, like who are we, right? That's kind of like the open-ended question of that's always changing and shifting and evolving. But who I am in this moment with you, my friend, as a modern day spiritual messenger, and entrepreneur, really I'm just here to support people in their own journey, in their own soulful journey. And that has many different layers and levels and so forth. But basically, like the loving humanity forward, that's my mission. That's my jam. That's what I'm here to do. And I think it really kind of started actually when I was in my corporate job. I live in Las Vegas, Nevada. So I worked inside of many of the casinos on the strip. And so I just started to feel like this kind of deeper calling happening. And there's just this deeper like underbelly that was really kind of yearning for more in the space of wanting to be able to contribute outside of myself. Because I felt like as an employee, I felt like I was just kind of a part of the rat race, just taking and going, you know, from work to clocking out to going home. And I didn't feel like this deeper purpose in my life. And then enter into my business, you know, starting as an entrepreneur. I have to say that the Loving Humanity Forward mission was given to me over a span of time, and it was something that was given to me. I don't think I sat there and kind of conjured that in my brain. It was really through the spaces of inspiration and insight from the universe and from the higher power, and realizing, you know, for me that most recently being spiritual, being a soulful individual who shows up in the world today, being spiritual wasn't just enough. Just talking about things weren't enough. And how are we really going to begin to support humanity in making the shift in this shifting out of this, like what I like to call kind of this older paradigm that we've been living in, where we need so much healing and we need so much love? How can we then begin to shift out of this? And so Loving Humanity Forward is like this overarching mission that I believe supports people in actually taking action, putting action under your feet to really support that shift and support that change in seeing a more loving world to live in.
I have a few questions that come out of there. One is about Las Vegas, and we're gonna come back to that. But it was interesting because you said, you know, this idea and this mission was given to you. And as you said that, I'm like, oh, I heard that somewhere this morning. And I was like, oh, I was listening to your podcast this morning. I was like, where did it come from? I was like, oh, that's actually funny. And the idea, and I don't remember the guest I was you were interviewing, but it was this notion of, imagine it wasn't you who created what you were doing in this world. Imagine it was the mission that was given to you. And I think that's such an empowering framework to be able to start to look at. It's a different, I think, physiology than, oh, I just thought of this myself and you know, I'm hoping people like it. But if you view it as this mission that you're given and you have to put out into the world, it just has so much more power to it in a really positive way. I love it.
Yes, the divine mission.
Yes.
You know, I believe that as human beings, you know, we are the things that light us up, the things that we get excited about, the things that we think about all the time. I believe that those are the kind of like the gateways into what living in your purpose and passion is all about. And so following almost like those divinely dropped breadcrumbs, mm-hmm. I believe leads you into to really being able to download what that is. And so for me, that's kind of how I describe it, like as a download, like I'm downloading from the universe. What is it that the universe is seeking to express through me? And I believe that, you know, that's what that is, that my Loving Humanity Forward, that's what is seeking to be expressed through me.
So great. So we're going to talk about vibration. We're going to talk about spirituality. But before, like, as my segue to that, you mentioned that you live in Las Vegas.
I do, yes.
Okay, so I'm going to Las Vegas for the very first time next month.
Nice, okay.
And here's my thing. I had always put off going and I had avoided going because I was like, oh, I just don't feel like it just doesn't vibrate the right way for me. Mm-hmm. And then I would suspect that you are just highly tuned in to these vibrational pieces. So on mm-hmm. that note, like, can we just talk for 1 second about the vibration of Las Vegas, because I think there's multiple levels here, and it's going to segue to those other components, but it surprised mm-hmm. me when you said that. So I don't have a question. I'm asking you to comment on that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, totally. And yes, you're absolutely right. So I certainly feel into the energy of spaces, the energy of, you know, environments and so forth. And I can definitely say that casinos and, kind of like the more debaucherous side of Las Vegas, those are not resonant with me at all. In fact, sometimes I'm actually what's called a highly sensitive empath, mm-hmm. which means not only am I navigating in my own emotional space and my own inner landscaping, but I'm actually feeling other people's stuff that I come in contact with. And I'm also feeling the energetic, like spaces that the vibration of energy that actual places hold as well, from what's happened there in the past and what's happening in the present and so forth. And so it's definitely been something that I've had to navigate through as I've become more sensitive, which I kind of believe, at least for me, the longer I go down my spiritual journey, I find myself being more sensitive. And I don't think that that's a bad thing. I actually think that that's like a superpower. Because we have so many desensitized people who are on autopilot. We need more passionate, empathetic people, thriving in the world. And so, I definitely have like my boundaries when it comes to being in Las Vegas. And I have, certain little like techniques that I do when I go into kind of like the heart of gambling and debauchery. But Vegas is not all about that either. I mean, the one of the reasons I was most attracted to it when I moved here, about like 12 or 13 years ago, was I loved the night aspect. I'm actually a night person. I thrive at night. And so I come from a really, really small town where everything closes down at like 7 o'clock at night. And so I was really attracted to this openness of 24 hours. And so I loved the restaurants. I loved the shows. I loved all the tours. Like that's actually what attracted me to Las Vegas. And so I definitely have boundaries for sure when I'm navigating on the strip itself, but I live in a really beautiful green, if you can believe that. There's actually green over in my neighborhood, being in the desert. It's just like any normal kind of family, location. So it definitely feels different over where I live.
Okay. I'm excited to go now. I'm going to open myself up and protect where needed.
Yes.
Okay. So you are a modern day spiritual messenger. You are working towards a doctorate in metaphysical science. Mm-hmm. This is a different angle for entrepreneurs. How do you serve entrepreneurs with this like incredibly unique, but for me, resonant, idea?
Thank you for that. So just for people who are listening, who are not familiar with maybe what metaphysical science means. So metaphysics actually comes from, an ancient Greek word. Meta means like over and beyond, and then physics. So it's kind of like this over and beyond physics. It's a branch of philosophy that actually, governs inside of the natures of like the nature of being. It's like the ultimate search for truth and purpose and meaning. And I practice more of the branch of like spiritual philosophy. So it's really the exploration of your soul's evolution, your soul's journey, the spiritual unfoldment of you as you being a human being and a divine being at the same time and how those intersect. So it's like your purpose, your passions, why you're here, what lights you up, what inspires you. That's kind of how I tie that into entrepreneurship and supporting people to activate and unlock those things within themselves. Because look, I believe that everybody has the answers for their life and for their journey already inside of them. Whether you believe that or not, we absolutely do. And it's just a matter of tuning into that, gaining deeper soul clarity on that. And then you begin to realize that there are a lot of blocks and things that are holding you back. What quote can hold you back? And so supporting people in unlocking those blocks that keep you stuck.
And where are those blocks coming from? Are those like, are they childhood blocks? Are those insecurities? Are those past lives? Are they all of the above? Like what are those?
Yes. Oh my gosh. That is actually such an amazing question. So I like to see life as kind of this holistic spectrum. I see it as a rainbow spectrum. I don't believe there's just a one side. There's kind of the duality. There's light, there's dark, there's up, there's down, there's in, there's out, and everything in between. And so if we start with like the holistic mind, body, spirit, right? So inside the mind, we have blocks can be stored in the subconscious mind. So when we're between the ages of 0, so when we're in mommy's belly, and 7 years old, we're like this little recorder that is sponging and absorbing everything that we see, that we feel, that we're taught from well-meaning adults. And so blocks can certainly be established at that time and inside our subconscious mind. If we look at the body, like specifically our emotions, a lot of times blocks can come from unexpressed emotions. So you hear like the term emotional baggage. We carry with us emotional baggage. And those studying energy and metaphysics, if we have emotions that are unexpressed, what typically happens is they're stored energetically in our body. And that, you know, just the, like any kind of energetic practice believes that we want like open channels and open flow of energy. And when there's a block, we want to look to unblock that, we look to release that. And so in our body stores so much sacred wisdom. And so we look to unblock these unexpressed emotions that have stored over this lifetime or past lifetimes. And that leads into the next holistic component of the mind, body, spirit. Is there's also, I believe in, you know, like past karmic history as well, looking at past lives, whether you believe that or not. It's almost like things are imprinted in your soul and you carry the things that you've experienced in past lives with you through each lifetime. And then also if you look at epigenetics, which is basically looking at genetic things that are passed down. So things that are passed down in your lineage of ancestry. So your parents passing things down to you, grandparents, great grandparents. So it's really kind of like this huge like spectrum of things. But just to kind of nutshell what I said, we're looking at the subconscious mind. We're looking at the emotions that have not been expressed. We're looking at karmic past lives, and we're looking at the genetics that are passed down. So that's typically like the areas that I navigate in looking to support people with releasing their blocks.
I just about lost my mind on this side of the conversation. When you had past lives and epigenetics in one paragraph, like I was like, this is too perfect. This is too perfect for me. Because those ideas are just, they've been on the tip of my mind, but epigenetics is something I talk about in my practice so often. But sometimes for my audience clinically, you know, talking about past lives in the same paragraph doesn't necessarily always happen, even if I'm thinking it.
Sure.
So I love that. How do you get people to tap in to these things? Because I think a lot of us become aware that we're like, ah, I got a blockage here. You know, the one I hear about most frequently is I've got a money block, or one that I won't say I get attacked with, but I hear people comment on. I'm like, oh, that's your issue. But it comes about with respect to money. And so like, why is it? Is it just a more powerful energetic force for people? Is it something that's just more pervasive in our collective upbringing? Where do you think that comes from?
You mean specifically around money?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, especially in the entrepreneur space, I mean, if we're doing good with our business, we typically like that equal exchange of energy. So if we're putting out into the world and we're doing a service, we're creating products, that exchange is typically through the exchange of money, through revenue. That's what entrepreneurship is, right? It's like you're putting something out and you're getting revenue back.
It's part of the point.
Right, exactly. Otherwise, it'd be a hobby, right?
Right.
It would just be a hobby. Mm-hmm. And so I know for me and what I've experienced, entrepreneurship is literally the gateway into personal and spiritual development. Because if you've got blocks, then they're going to come up. They're going to come up.
Yes.
And so I think that a lot of people start with money because, you know, we need at a very surface level, we look as a human being living on Earth today. I mean, unless you're like in the rainforests or in the Amazon or something, right? Like we have to have money to survive, to put food in our mouths, to put a roof over our head, to put clothes on our back. And so it is a fundamental aspect of being a human being. So it is something that is very important in living in the human world. And so more people desire to get that under control. And so that's why money is just, it's definitely a hot topic that people, most of the people that come to me typically, at first are wanting to squash their money blocks. And then we realize that there's always typically an underlying root, and it's actually not normally sometimes doesn't have to do with money at all. So yeah.
It's just the first place we tend to see that symptom.
Yes, the symptom. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And how do you work with people to remove those blocks? Like, what modalities or tools do you leverage when you're working with clients?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So, okay. Kind of one of my go-tos is, you know, first we have to kind of gain clarity, because a lot of blocks are lurking under the threshold of our conscious awareness. So we want to kind of bring them up to the surface. Like you said, the symptoms mm-hmm. will present themselves, but we got to get below the symptom to kind of identify what the real culprit and kind of, you know, problematic space is. So I, you know, in supporting people, meditation is a huge everythingness for me. I mean, that is my jam. And so typically when we are in going into meditation, that's where we can actually physiologically begin to rewire our subconscious mind. So how can we tap into that going into or coming out space to put in something that we would rather believe, a belief set that we would rather have, rather than this belief set or this block that is holding us back or keeping us stuck, instead of perpetually looping that belief over and over and over and over again. And so I've got like brainwave technologies that support people in getting into this very specific brainwave state. And you can do work in that space. Also EFT or tapping is another really great thing as well. It looks at the energetic meridians on your body, and you're basically calling out the belief that you currently have, and you're almost like tapping what it is that you'd rather believe. Instead, you're tapping that into your energy system. So kinesiology, I mean, the energy work, I mean, there's a lot of different things. Hypnosis also. It just depends on the person, and what resonates most with them, what is most effective for their own personal journey.
I love it. I love that you have more than one tool that you can pull out, because not everyone's ready for meditation. And then some people have been using meditation for a long time, and they're like, I've still got this block.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's different angles on the way in. I was thinking about this concept the other day as I was reading through some of your material, and because so much of the work that I do is health related, I had this analogy that was like created in my head as I was reading through your stuff. And this was this notion of, you know, when we eat a bad diet for 20 years, we build up plaque on the inside of our arteries, and there are downstream consequences physiologically for the choices we make every single day. And it's not necessarily one thing, it's just the cumulative effect. And I suspect on a spiritual level, we see the same type of thing, that there are patterns of engagement with our daily living that set us up for success to spiral up or set us up to spiral down. What are some of those things in your opinion? Or am I like totally out to lunch and you're like, that's not how it works at all?
No. And I actually think that that's a really great analogy and observation. I actually like to kind of reframe that a little bit. I mean, I believe that everything happens for a purpose. It's all unfolding just as it should. I believe that there are coincidences, and I certainly believe in the divine timing. Things are soulfully supporting you, just the medicine that you need in this space in your life. And I don't know that I would necessarily say, quote, like that they're supposed to be there and see them as a bad thing. I actually would reframe that to say that the blocks that we have are actually an opportunity for you to come back to yourself. If we can see the messy spaces of our life or the undesirable parts of our life as a learning opportunity, as a point of growth, then the blocks that we hold in our energy system, our emotional system, our physical system, all of our systems, they're present to actually support us on our spiritual journey, like the lessons that we're meant to learn within this lifetime. So I just see them as an opportunity to grow more deeply, to come more into yourself. And a soulful evolution is really what I consider, quote, blocks.
And is there a habit or a lifestyle piece that we can start to put into practice, and maybe meditation is the answer, on a daily basis to move us closer to that, I'll say vibration, maybe it's a different vocabulary, where we're tapped into that, where we're less likely to just keep hitting these blocks?
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that you said habit, because that's actually just kind of a side note. Habits, working on the things that you're doing on the regular, your habits, your patterns. Actually, that's another way that you can support rewiring these blocks and these beliefs that you hold. But specifically, yeah, I mean, meditation, that for me, that's my go-to jam. But really just being, I think, in a space of self-awareness, and that's not something necessarily that happens overnight. Being in the space of mindfulness. One of the questions that I'm constantly asking myself is, how do I want to feel? Like, what do I want to feel right now in this moment? How do I want to feel in my life? How do I want to feel in my business? And, you know, I talk a lot about divine manifestation, and divine manifestation is all about like being in alignment with that which you are looking to co-create with the universe or call into your life. And so it's all about alignment. And so if we are not in our truth, if we, you know, are not speaking our truth or living our truth, we're out of alignment, just like with health, right? You look at this like in the physical space, you begin to see that things begin to bubble up, that diseases or things that take you out and away from your natural essence, away from your heart, your space of harmony and happiness. And so if we can recalibrate that and have this space of mindfulness and self-awareness of how do I want to feel? And, you know, because we're ultimately pulled by how we want to feel in life and in business. And so if we can be in awareness of what that is, then that's an amazing launch pad to take us and move us forward so that we can be aligned with the things that we say, the things that we do, how we show up in our life, et cetera, et cetera. So,
do you think women are better is the wrong word, but I'll say it, are better at this process than men, or it just comes to us more easily, or you just actually think it's part of that human evolution? You just either get to that spot or you're not there yet.
Mm-hmm. So this is kind of like a gigantical question. But just
are women better than men, Jen? That's not what I'm saying.
Oh my gosh, no. They're different. They're very different. You know, if you look at the space of like what's called divine masculine and divine feminine energies, divine masculine is, it doesn't mean that someone's like more manly than a whatever. It really means like it's the process of going from point A to B, it's execution, it's more logical and linear thinking. And the divine feminine is more of this introspection. It's more going within to the unknown spaces. And I believe that as, you know, just from what I've experienced, I can only go off my own experiences, speak from that space. You know, we have a tendency to have a bit more practice in this. And so it's not that men are less than or women are better. It's just a different way of navigating. Did that answer your question? Like, I know it's a huge question. So
yeah, it is a huge question. And I'm always fascinated with the way that different people tap in different ways. And it has been my observation in practice, that men and women not only tap in differently. I just find women they tap in sooner. But once anyone sort of crosses that threshold, they've crossed that threshold. So I was really curious, you know, from your experience, where those things tend to, what kind of patterns you tend to see in that.
Yeah,
in that respect.
I've definitely observed women are kind of a bit more tapped in. I mean, but the thing is that men are tapped in a different way. I mean, everybody has this space of intuitive knowing, this internal compass. Every single human being has that. And so sometimes they're just labeling it differently or, you know, tapping in differently, like you said. So, but yeah, most women have a tendency to be more lit up in this space. So, but it is that it's kind of the nature of like the feminine energy nature of it is this introspection, this inward intuitive space.
There's this idea that I keep hearing about. Well, and I have my own thoughts on it. But I want to introduce it to my audience. And this is this notion that, like, when you just start to get out of your own way and you surrender to your mission, things start to get easier. And as the more we remove these blockages, the serendipity and the divine coincidence and all of these coming togethers happen with greater ease. Is that something that you just kind of take for granted at this point, or just see with greater clarity given the way that you work with people?
I think I'm definitely, let me just be clear. I believe in the duality of life. So I may be a teacher in this particular space, but at the same exact time, I'm also a student, and I'm also a human being who's navigating through my own blocks and my own, karmic history and, you know, stuff, junk. Right. And so, yes, I'm definitely more aware of it, but I still have my own work around it.
How do I, like, I want people to really explore this idea, because I think with entrepreneurs and with individuals in general, ambitious people, go-getters, they get very caught up in the tasks of execution, right? I have to do this. I have to build this site. I have to, like, they're constantly doing. And I think there's a new filter and lens through which you can see your life and your existence, where you can also just tap into that flow state, but not necessarily in terms of getting more tasks done, but in terms of recognizing what the universe has just put in front of you. Like, how do we get people to put that lens in front of their eyes? What kind of things should they be looking for? What kind of practices should they engage in so they can really start to recognize when that pattern's been sitting in front of them?
Yeah, so I think that, just because this is another gigantic question as well, I think one of the best ways is if you look for, like, what I call synchronicities, or what I kind of how I define, like, these sparkling intersections that seem to be coincidental. Typically, you know, the universe is dropping what I like to call, like, divine breadcrumbs, like kind of guiding you through things. And so it's always choice. We always have a choice as a human to listen or not listen, follow or not follow. And so if we're able to, rather than lean forward, kind of like the energy of leaning forward, relying on our own separate strength to go, 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 do, and almost like willfully force things forward. When you can be in a space of leaning back, the energy of leaning back, the visual that I have on this is almost like I'm leaning back into the arms of the universe, or God, or, you know, spirit, your higher power. You almost then, as you're leaning back, you're in this space of surrendering and openness, so that when things cross your path, you are more open to see them. You're more led by inspiration. The things that light you up, the things that you are excited about, those are typically the like I mentioned earlier, like the spaces that you can move into that will help you in this. For me, again, back to meditation, just being in that space of self-inquiry, being in that space of just pausing and being quiet. Because yes, you're absolutely right. We, especially in the female entrepreneur space, we've been trying to squeeze ourselves into a box of what I kind of like this wounded masculine energy. We're trying to squeeze ourselves into boxes that don't fit as entrepreneurs. And so as women, we need to embrace kind of our natural rhythms, like our natural flow of things. And so I'm really honoring of, like, the cycles of life. You know, we have, as women, we have our moon cycles. And so moon cycle, like our menstrual cycle, just for the,
I was like, I'm totally with you, Jen. Yeah. Thank you for this, yeah, like, footnote.
Our monthly things. And those are, they're actually meant to slow us down. We're not supposed to be like, go, 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 push, 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 push all the time. And so when we can honor these natural cycles and rhythms of life, just like our Mother Earth has the seasons, right? There's winter, there's spring, there's fall, there's summer. We as human beings also have our own seasons and rhythms as well. And when we can be honoring of those, when we feel like we're in a, let's go do it, let's execute, let's do this, and we're lit up by that, then we're in that season of our life. But when we feel that, like, oh my gosh, this is taking me so long to do, there's so much procrastination and resistance, it could very well be that you're in a cycle of your life where you're being called to go inward. You're being called to pause and listen instead of showing up and being out there and doing and doing and doing. And so, you know, the flow space is a magical space. I mean, it's this manifestational, like, infinite possibility space. And a lot of times I see people, women resisting what's really calling them, what's really sitting on their heart, because they have deadlines, because they've got things in motion, because they think they're supposed to have this done. But when you can listen to your natural rhythms and cycles and seasons of your life and really honor how you're feeling in that moment, that's when things unfold in a really magical way, so that you can be in the flow space rather than being in this uphill, resisting, battling, trying to move forwardness. So hopefully that shed some light on that.
It's amazing. And I would say too, you know, sometimes these things are in front of us and it's just having the courage to step in to that when it shows up in front of you and having that courage ready, like ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I find that with women very often, they're like, you know what? It's like all lined up. And as soon as I have complete competence and confidence, I'm going to jump into it. Mm-hmm. And I'm always trying to encourage them, like, courage comes first. It's the first, it's what gets you to the competence and the confidence. Mm-hmm. But I love what you're saying. I have a question for you, and I have zero segue towards it. And I was trying to figure out how I was going to get there. And I'm like, I don't have a clear path. So we're going to jump sideways because yes. I really want to talk about this. And that is Akashic Records.
Yes.
And as I was going through your stuff, I was like, I love that the term Akashic Records and the concept is on your site. In addition to talking about entrepreneurs, can you talk a little bit about what the Akashic Records are and then how you connect this to the individuals that you work with and how that phases into their journey?
Yeah, no, definitely. So the Akashic Records is kind of like this energetic space. So it's not an actual space that I'm going to get in my car and drive to later today. It's this energetic.
I hope not anyways.
Yeah, right. This energetic space that it's kind of like if you think of like a library. And typically what happens is in this space, this library, it holds all of the wisdom and knowledge and truth for an individual's soul. And this is not just, and if we go into the metaphysical space, it's not just looking at this present lifetime. So like who you are right now, Megan, who I am right now is Jen. It also takes into an account, you know, all of the past lives, all of the generational things that we were talking about a little bit earlier. And it also, if you want to go way, way metaphysical and way woo, is it looks at different dimensions and different, you know, just goes far when we're looking at that whole thing. So it's really just kind of like this collection of sacred wisdom. And so I want to be completely clear, anybody can access this information. It's not like you have to have some person to go through to get this information. That's something that I'm like super, super clear on. Cause like we see way too much of that and, you know, especially in like the religious space, we feel like we have to have a pastor or a father or to get to our higher source. Like when it's actually, it's in us as well. Like we've got the capacity to tap in as well. And so, so really supporting people on their journey, what I do as kind of like the facilitator of this is because this is it's like a muscle. It's a muscle that we begin to work out. We strengthen, it becomes more limber. It becomes like that muscle memory, right? In the physical space. So this is something that I've practiced. So it comes a bit easier to me. And I'm way open to it as well. And so what happens is when people come to me, they're wanting to know, like on a spiritual level, kind of like what's going on. What I do is with their permission, I go into a meditation. I go into the Akashic Records and I ask permission to give this person who already knows this information. They already know it, But sometimes it's when we're in the middle or a mess of something, it's harder to hear or see what's really present because we've got kind of like that laser focused of whatever else is on our brain. So with the permission of all that is, I in essence extract or pull into my awareness what this person needs to know at a soul level. And most of the time it always has to do with love. It always has to do with love. Maybe that's not
spoiler loving, alert.
Right? Yeah. Most of the time it's like people have this I am not enoughness disease going on where they feel they're not enough. Or they feel that the they feel like they're unloved, and typically it has to do with love. And so for me, being a facilitator of love, loving humanity forward, that's my jam. That I believe is certainly one of my strong suits. Like literally, I just want to freaking love people like that. I just want people to know that they're loved, and I want to love on them, and I want them to know how absolutely magnificent they are. And so I then take what I download and I share this with them. And then I support them in moving this information that resonates with them forward into their life, into their business, and go from there. So hopefully that's again, nutshell.
Amazing. I know. I'm like a 30,000 foot kind of person.
Yeah.
You may have noticed. I love it. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about past lives, epigenetics, and now Akashic Records all yes. in one episode. I'm like completely yes. pumped. Did you grow up with these ideas being just like part of the common vernacular? It's part of how I grew up. So it normalized it. So I'm always curious about other people's journey.
No, actually, I grew up in a very religious home, and the things that I talk about now, actually, I think in most religions, being that it's misunderstood, a lot of people probably think it's like voodoo or like weird magic stuff. It's totally not. Like at the base root bottom of everything that I do is love. Like how can we come back to love? That's our natural essence. And so how can we return back into that rather than living in this fear space? I definitely wasn't like jamming with my mom when I was like 6 years old on like Akashic Records. So this is something that's definitely, it continues to, present itself to me. And I just go with what feels aligned and what I feel called to learn more about the different bodies of work and integrate them into my body of knowledge. So
what do you want your legacy to be?
Well, this is going to be another like shocking surprise, but it's truly love. Like I want people to, you know, the people that have perhaps come in contact with me or my work, I infuse so much love. I'm very deliberate and very thoughtful with the way that I present things and the way that I show up when I'm supporting them. And I want them to feel that love. And so it's really the ripples of love. And there's really no way to quantify or measure that because these ripples can, who knows where they go and who they have affected. But, it's just really, I'm loving humanity forward. I want to really support people in remembering their truth and remembering that love is their essence. It's who they are. And that they felt loved. So if they felt loved from me, then that's what it's all about. So.
I love that. And that feeling and that essence of what you want to deliver, I feel from everything that you are saying and delivering to the world. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Each month, I'm featuring a new Anthropology quiz to help you unlock and uncover some of the physical performance blocks that may be holding you back from your true potential. When you know better, you can do better. To learn more or to take the quiz, head on over to meganwalker.com/Anthropology quiz. This is a really great place to transition to the last part of our interview. And this is a section of the interview that I call our KPIs. So just like we would have KPIs or key performance indicators in a business, I also believe that we have them with respect to how we live our lives and how we feel about our health on a daily basis. So nothing to do with business, totally to do with self-care practices. Can you indulge me for six quick questions?
Sure, but of course.
Are you ready?
Has anybody ever said no?
Well, they like, did the no. time I joked that they were math questions. There was just this awkward silence. And I was like, I'm joking. Okay. You can't see my face, so you don't know that I'm, you know, I'm teasing. But no, you've got these. I know you've got them. Okay, first question, Jen. Do you have a consistent morning routine? And if so, can you share?
Yes. So I have a tendency to do things backwards. I always have.
Love it.
And so being a night person, I actually gradually kind of come into my body, come into the awareness of life in general. And so, and then later on, like I actually do my work at night, actually through the night, like in the wee hours of the morning, because as an empath, it's quieter for me, energetically. And so, morning would be like 10 a.m. is typically when I start to roll out of bed. It's this gradual space of meditation, like just kind of this self-inquiry. I do a lot of self-inquiry, of contemplation, kind of just, so I'm not the kind of person that like gets up and like, yeah, let's do this. Let's go. I ease into my day. And then later on, I'm like, yeah, let's do this. Let's pump this out. What's going on? So for me, this contemplation, brushing my teeth, that's essential, and meditation.
It's great. Fiction or nonfiction, what are you reading right now?
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. I'm like, I literally have a bajillion different books that I have open. I can't even remember the name of it. I apologize. But it's the newest one with Deepak Chopra. I can get you the name if you're interested. Because I have my own podcast. And I'm sure you may experience this. I interview a lot of authors. And so I have like 500 million books.
Yeah, I get it.
I love my book and I chisel into them. I'm not a start and finish kind of gal. Like I go where I feel led. So I don't have just one book that I'm like cracked into.
Yeah, I get you on that. I'm audibling everything. Like it just
I love Audible.
Right? It's just as I go along.
One of the ones that I that just kind of popped up when you mentioned Audible is the one that's kind of on repeat for me is Neil Donald Walsh's most current book in the Conversations with God series. That to me was like, oh yes, thankfully somebody's totally talking about this, and it has to do with like this unseen world and the metaphysical space, and so that's on a constant repeat for me when I want to tune into and remember. Come into the space of remembering, I will definitely go into that book for sure.
Yeah, that was a pivotal book for me, and I guess the series of books like that. Just I think it was in like grade 8 the first time I read that, and I was just like, oh,
but it's book 4, so it's deep.
No, it's so good. Okay, what is the one thing that you're most consistent with respect to your health?
With my health, well, I, again, back to meditation. I mean, that's literally, I love spending time in that space and just floating around in the cosmos and chatting with my cosmic crew. And so meditation's definitely a space that I jam lots and lots in.
What's something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Oh, well, so two things come to mind. So here I am, I'm like this quote, I don't even like to call myself this, but this spiritual teacher, like I talk about, you know, that's why I call myself a modern day spiritual messenger. I'm bringing messages forward is I curse like a mofo.
That's awesome.
I definitely drop some serious bombs of colorful language, which I love. And I definitely have a dash of badass. Like I kind of drive a racy car, a muscle car. A lot of times people are shocked when they meet me. They're like, oh, you're so like spiritual, whatever, which is so annoying. But then they see me get in my car and then they're like, totally would have never expected that from you. Cause I like to drive fast. I drive kind of like a fighter pilot.
I love that. That totally qualifies. Well done. What do you do for fun or play?
Oh, my husband and I, we actually love going to the movies. That's more of our local thing, or traveling. I love experiencing new cultures and, seeing things from different lensings. So travel, definitely.
And the last question for you, Jen, entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Oh my
or is
gosh.
It like multiple lifetimes? How does that work?
I love I love that question. I think that we can definitely be more predisposed in certain circumstances, but you know, I would have to say just off the top of my head before I go into like further inquiry with it, that it is something that is kind of given to us. Like I think we're born into it.
Amazing. Jen Mavros, it has been an absolute pleasure chatting with you today. So I was really excited to talk to you this afternoon. I really appreciate your time. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Jen, if people want to connect with you and learn more about what you are up to, can you give us a few quick examples of where people can find you? And we will completely hook them up in our show notes.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. Super easy. Just jenmavros.com. And then you can find my name on pretty much any social media space under Jen Mavros. And then I also have like this really beautiful free gift that's an intro into divine manifestation. And that's at onwardcourse.com.
Amazing. Jen, thanks so much for your time.
Yay, thank you, love. I appreciate you.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.